If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money. Station.
Are you ready? Let's go!
Showtime. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Here we go. Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
This is a sacred moment between a boy and his father.
Say what you're trying to say. What kind of weirdo are you?
Jeff Lutz.
And it's frustrating when you don't hear me, because I'm speaking very clearly with direct language.
I can feel the love.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
It's all happening.
It's all happening.
It's all happening.
And you're invited to partake of it.
Stand by for action.
Good afternoon and welcome. It is Bob and Jeff on KFH. I am not Bob, so it must not be Bob and Jeff. It must be Bob or Jeff. And today it's Jeff. But who's Bob? Bob is David Michael Hahn. Or am I Bob and you're me? It's very confusing.
I am confused by it. I'm okay with being Bob.
When Bob is not here, the hierarchy gets all out of whack. No one knows who's who. Am I Jeff? Am I Bob? Am I David? Am I Max? It's impossible to even know. But you are
David Michael Hahn.
David Michael Hahn.
Back in the booth, ready to go. Recognized around this office.
You know, we're going to talk about my experience dropping my daughter off at Kansas State University.
Day one,
is why I'm wearing the K-State dad shirt.
I was going to say, day one from dropping off, and you're already rocking the K-State dad shirt.
Oh, why wouldn't I? I've been a K-State dad now for several months. It just so happens that now she is at the school. She'll be attending classes beginning Monday. But she's been locked in on Kansas State for several months now.
What's she going to study again?
Fashion design.
That's right.
And I bring her up first to say that on Monday, we were going out to dinner. We were in the car. You got brought up somehow. I don't remember exactly how. But, you know, you're a good friend and things like that occasionally.
Friend of the family,
and,
even.
And she said, well, why do you call him David Michael Hahn instead of just David? Or I don't really have a good answer for that, but it just fits you.
Thank you. There's actually a reasoning behind why people call me that.
What do you mean people?
Well, some people call me. Most people call me DMH now.
What does your license plate say?
To my car, it says Haunter.
Why doesn't it say Haunted?
Well, Haunter is a Pokemon, my favorite Pokemon. Introduced my girls to Pokemon this morning, FYI. Haunter is my favorite Pokemon, and with the last name Han, I just threw in an
extra
H.
So is that why you're lashing out at me for wearing the shirt? Are you a little jealous? Is that what it is? Like, you're
about
I'm experiencing these real milestone moments. I'm dropping my kid off at college. She's taking the next step and chapter in her life, and you're watching Pokemon.
My kids can
barely. Is there anger there? Is that what this is?
My kids can barely step, let alone take the next
step.
That's
what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, there's no anger. I'm excited for you. I feel for you. I checked in on you yesterday, make sure you're okay.
I did. I wasn't really in much of a talking mood yesterday, but I did my best.
You sent me a very short response, but I knew you were okay, so I was good with it.
Yeah, I said, I'm fine. She's good.
Am I lashing out at you?
Yeah, I felt like twice now you've brought up the shirt that I'm...
Well, I brought it up off air. The people didn't hear it.
It feels like ridicule at
this
point.
Ridicule.
One time maybe, you know, a playful little jab, something I could deal with. Twice, that feels like there's some genuine animosity there.
I did it off air. No one heard it.
But again,
I wanted people to hear it. It's good radio.
But if it was out of your system, I'm saying you wouldn't have brought it up on air.
Yeah, that's fair.
If you'd really let it go the first time, well, that's all I'm saying.
I might bring it up again.
I feel like you will.
Those watching David Cast at home have seen that you're already wearing it.
It's a nice shirt.
It's a great shirt. I can't wait to. I have my daughter has one that says Oklahoma State daughter.
Oof. She's never gonna wear that.
She wears it all the time.
No, I mean, like when she starts to be seen in public.
When she starts, she'll be too big for it by then. It's not a very big sweater.
I would recommend not getting the next
size. Is it because of the daughter part or the Oklahoma State part?
What do you think?
Probably the Oklahoma State part. You hate Oklahoma State.
I don't hate Oklahoma
You've been a long-time notorious Oklahoma State hater on this show.
I'm not an Oklahoma State hater. I'm just embarrassed for people who like Oklahoma State.
What about those of us that went there?
I'm embarrassed.
Yeah, that's fair.
What are you doing with all that T. Boone Pickens money?
A lot of good
stuff.
Going
9-4. That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
I'm saying.
Who is your team before K-State?
Cleveland Guardians.
Okay.
I have one
What
team.
Have they done with all the whatever money
we
they have?
We don't have any money.
They can't
run. We have the best week in baseball.
They can't
best,
run.
What did I say?
Best freaking baseball?
Best week in baseball? What did I say? Best record in baseball is what we have.
Well, we'll see how that translates come September and October.
We will. Okay. We sure will. And we'll see how T. Boone Pickens translates in December. 9-4.
We'll
Holiday
see.
Holiday Bowl.
I don't know.
Next.
I don't know. Big 12's wide open now.
Yeah, it's wide open. And I was perusing ESPN.com the other day. It had the top 25 with their ceiling and their floor.
Okay.
And I wrote down a few.
I would love to hear them.
Obviously, the ones that pertain to us here in Kansas. KU. You know what their ceiling is, according to ESPN?
It's like how many wins they're going to have?
Yeah, record.
7 wins.
7 is their ceiling?
I'm just guessing.
That's the best they can do?
That's my guess.
KU ceiling, according to ESPN, if everything goes right, 12-0.
Wow.
And I agree with them.
Wow, okay.
Because
you seemed genuinely shocked, so I thought it was going to be lower.
Well, there's a shock when the football program at KU is estimated by any measure to go 12-0, even if it's pie in the sky, best case scenario.
Well, they don't play OSU this year, so.
Usually, well, that may be part of it. Their schedule is a little light.
Yeah.
They play at West Virginia.
They play Colorado like 3 times.
At least. They play at West Virginia in the Big 12 opener, which is going to tell us a lot about both teams. We had the West Virginia guy, their sideline reporter, and we'll continue our Big 12 previews today. We had the West Virginia sideline reporter on, and it was kind of shocking to learn or / remember that West Virginia won 9 games last year.
Wow, I did not remember
that. And they returned a lot. They added some pieces in the transfer portal. West Virginia might be a threat.
Is that on your ceiling and floor list today?
No, I didn't.
What's the floor
for KU?
They're
not in the top 25. The floor is 6-6.
Okay. I was close. My ceiling was on the floor.
There's no way. There's no way. No way that KU loses 6 games.
Well, I hoped. I
don't know how I don't know how ESPN came up with that. So that to me lessens their credibility a bit. I can maybe go with 12-0, but KU at 6-6?
Interesting.
That makes no sense.
I think it could happen. I think they're either going to have 12 wins, somewhere between 12 wins and zero wins.
Well, that's probably true.
I think
6 losses in this schedule, even if things go absolutely horribly.
Okay.
Let's just say worst case scenario is a loss in any of these games. Versus Lindenwood. No way.
Yeah, that's fair.
At Illinois. Okay,
yeah.
We'll mark that as 1 loss. So they're not going to lose that game.
Sure,
but we're
it's
trying
possible.
To get we're trying to get to 6-6 here.
We're doing our best.
Home against UNLV, I would say no.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine.
At West Virginia, okay, we'll say that's 2 losses. Home against TCU, I guess now you could say they could lose any of these, but they're going to win that game. And then they're going to win at Arizona State, then they're going to win against Houston at home. At Kansas State, maybe a loss.
That's probably a loss.
Iowa State at home, that's a win. At BYU, let's say loss. Home against Colorado, loss, I guess, Baylor. That's the only way. There's no way.
What riveting analysis that was.
Well, I'm just saying, how do you get to 6 losses if that's actually KU's floor? There's no way. You can't.
Should we make it interesting?
How?
Come up with some sort of one of us has to buy the other a lunch or something if they go 6-6 versus 12-0. Whoever gets closer to 6-6 to 12-0.
Okay, well, I'll take 12-0.
Okay, I'll take that.
So 9 wins would be the push.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I can deal with that.
You're okay with that?
We just found maybe 3 realistic losses in there. Maybe. They're not going to lose at Illinois.
I saw
they might lose at West Virginia. They might lose at Kansas State. Other than that, that's 10 wins.
Guess
so
what
I win the bet. So we just pay it off now?
No, we can wait.
K-State's ceiling.
12-0.
You would think.
I would think more than KU.
You would think it would be 12-0, but it's not. It's 11-1.
Wow.
What would be the automatic loss on their schedule? There isn't one.
Do they play OSU?
They do. They play OSU at home.
I mean, Lord knows that they find ways to lose to them a lot.
So,
That's true.
Yeah. K-State's been very good. Now, granted, they don't always lose to OSU. I'm not making that claim. I'm just saying that there's been a lot of years that K-State's been pretty good, and they still have lost to OSU.
It happens.
It happens. There's your loss.
Or at West Virginia, or home against KU.
Or KU, according to you.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
12-0.
KU could be 12-0.
If they're 12-0, then K-State's going 11-1.
Is Oklahoma State the only separator between a ceiling of 12-0, which KU has, and a ceiling of 11-1?
I think the separator is KU versus K-State.
But
because they're saying KU's going to go – I assume KU and K-State play this year.
Yeah,
I guess that's the first
year,
question.
October 26th.
So they're saying KU is going to go 12-0, and if KU goes 12-0, that means K-State has at least one loss.
Right, but that's the ceiling.
Right.
So K-State could win that game. The floor for KU 6-6, so one of those six losses would be against –
This is getting convoluted. What's K-State's floor?
6-6 also.
Wow.
I don't see six losses on their schedule.
I would be more shocked about K-State having six losses than KU.
Home against Arizona, okay. Home against Oklahoma State could be one. At West Virginia. Home against Kansas. At Iowa State. Those are the only even possible losses, and that's only five.
Did you mention OSU?
OSU, what do you think their ceiling is?
Probably 10-2.
Yeah, that's correct.
And their floor is probably 9-3. That's what they
Pretty
always
much.
Are. That's what they basically always are.
That's what Oklahoma State is. Their floor is 5-7.
Wow, no bowl game.
I hope that happens. Oh, my God, do I hope that happens. And then can we fire Mike Gundy and get a real coach in there and be serious as a program? Is that something that we can do?
No. Why would we want to do that?
Why would you want to get serious as a program?
Teach me how to Gundy.
You don't really like him, do you?
I like Mike Gundy.
You do? What
well,
do you like
okay,
about
wait,
him?
Oh, as a coach or as a person?
Either.
As a person, sure, I love him. I think he's
you
a
do?
Great I think he's a great personality. I've met him several times. He sort of knows who I am.
What? Why?
Because I made a video in college. Feel free, those that are watching or listening and watching this radio.
The Dave cast.
The Dave cast at home. It's the David cast. There's no Dave.
I'll call it what I want.
We made a YouTube back in the day called Teach Me How to Gundy.
Yeah, I saw that. It was
yeah,
horrific.
It's terrible. But it has like almost 60,000 views. So
why?
Because, well, what happened was is Mike Gundy danced at after they had a big win either that season or the next season, and somebody else made a Teach Me How to Gundy remix of him dancing. And so people started YouTubing that, but ours would pop up and they'd watch ours. So we had a big blast.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I got recognized one time. No, a couple times.
And you were in a movie.
I'm in a movie. I'm in a short film as well. I've been in a pizza.
By our old friend Shane whatever's last. I don't know. Who?
Shane Kinnicky?
I know Shane.
Where's Shane? Kinnicky. Shane's in Kansas City. I was also
Shane
in
Shane left us.
I was in a pizza commercial.
You were?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
When? Why?
It was actually the same weekend that I was hanging out with Mike Gundy. I went to Big 12 Media Day, and then I filmed this Pizza Hut commercial for a Pizza Hut campaign they were doing back in 2015. 2015, 16, somewhere in there.
How about that?
Huh?
How about that? You always kind of wanted to be a media personality.
I would love to be.
When did you discover that you really can't cut it?
Many years ago, but thankfully I met you and you've let me be on here a few times, so now I'm a personality on the Bob and Jeff Show.
See, I'm trying to poke at you a little bit because that's what we do on this show.
I'm unpokeable.
Why
unless we're saying, go Pokes.
Yeah, Oklahoma State is your one poke weakness.
Yeah, that's true.
You want to hear what we have on the show today?
I would love to.
At 2:25, that's the very next segment from right now. Are you ready for this?
I don't know. What is it?
We are talking to Greg Warubel.
I assume
it's probably Rubel, but it starts with a W, so yeah. We'll have to make sure.
Who's that?
He's the play-by-play guy for the Brigham Young Cougars as our Big 12 previews continue.
I've got some questions for him.
You do.
Maybe. We'll see.
I don't, but you know.
Well, you know what mine are, so don't steal them.
I'm a professional, so we'll see how it goes.
Just don't steal my questions.
I will not. He's coming up at 2:25. BYU. I wonder what they're. We don't get
their. Yeah, I was going to say, what's their ceiling?
We don't get
floor?
Their floor or ceiling because they only did the top 25.
Oh, true. True, true, true.
But BYU plays K-State, Arizona, Oklahoma State, Central Florida, Utah, and Kansas. So, ceiling 0-12. I'm not going to tell Greg that.
Well, he might be listening already, getting ready.
You think so?
It's possible.
Is he on the Odyssey app?
Yeah, probably. Hey, Greg.
I would be, right? If I was getting to
well, they might talk about me before the show,
right,
before I'm on.
I want to know kind of the feel of the show, get the general vibe. Yeah,
he's going to hate you, but he'll talk to me.
One time, you probably don't remember this, but maybe you do.
We'll see.
The Wing Nuts manager. I used to call the Wind Surge the Wing Nuts. Now I call the Wing Nuts the Wind Surge or whatever. do you remember when the Wing Nuts manager had a tirade? You don't remember that. He went off on the umpire. He shoved his armpit in the guy's face. He picked up a shoe, and it made like national news. And they were talking about it on a late night ESPN show. And I called into the maybe I emailed. I don't remember, but I said, "Hey, I cover that team. I was at that game. I can come on the air." It was a very late night, and they emailed me back. Yeah, how's 3 a.m. sound?
You were
like,
up.
"Yeah, I'll do it." Fell asleep.
And you missed it?
I missed it.
They call you?
No, I think I was supposed to call them.
Did you ever go back and listen to the recording of them being like, this guy standing us up?
We'll be joined by Jeff Lutz at 3 a.m.
Your ego couldn't handle that.
No, I couldn't. I couldn't make that work. I really tried hard.
Wow.
But 3 a.m.?
That's late. Even for you.
Stuff going on.
Like sleep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't have a lot going on.
Couldn't tell you the last time I was awake at 3 a.m. It's been years. Well, other than waking up in the middle of the night with my children, which is every day, basically.
But having stayed awake until 3 a.m.
You could take a little nappy nap.
That doesn't happen.
Yeah, that doesn't happen very often.
At 3:25, we'll talk with Shelby Wehrman,
okay,
the head coach at what Ted Woodward, as Lou Holtz would say, the University of Cheney, here in the area, here in Cheney.
You're right.
They're coming off a 3A state championship season in which they beat Andale twice.
Yeah.
The only two losses of my daughter's high school career at Andale.
I forgot.
She didn't play football, but.
What was their win streak before they lost?
50, I don't know.
57.
I was going to say that, but I didn't think it was right.
Yeah, you could have had an opportunity.
Speaking of, my daughter dropped her off at K-State yesterday.
What are you wearing the shirt for?
See, you're an angry person.
I'm angry. I'm an angry little man.
When's the last time you went to therapy? It's been a while.
I went on Tuesday week.
Okay, that's good. So did I, actually. Wait, was mine Monday or Tuesday? It doesn't really matter.
I don't know. I wasn't there.
I think it was Tuesday. Do we have the same therapist?
It seems unlikely.
Ask me about the experience.
The therapy experience?
No, the dropping the kid off.
We're moving to that now?
Yeah, just for a couple
3 o'clock,
minutes.
Though. What's happening in 3?
Oh, we're having a game.
We're having a game. How was the experience dropping off your kid? My game.
It was okay. It was good. It was nice. I'm proud of the kid.
Okay.
You know, I cried a little. Wasn't expecting to cry because to me it wasn't necessarily. It sucks in some ways that she's not at the house, and you know when I return home tonight she won't be there. That's sad.
That is sad.
But it wasn't. It's not a sad experience.
It's exciting for her.
The fallout is sad.
Yeah.
But the experience, I'm happy for. But that's kind of why I cried because I'm so proud of the youngster.
Well,
and I made sure I told her these things, and that's when I started crying. And then
did she cry?
Probably, yeah. I think so.
Not in front of you, though. She's strong.
Well, she was in the back seat.
Oh, yeah. You just mid drive.
Well, it was,
crying a little bit, saying, "I'm so proud of you. Your future is
well." It
nigh.
Was when we were driving her back to the dorm for the last time, and you know, I was
what dorm's she in?
Good now.
I have zero idea. I didn't go to K-State. My sister-in-law lives in Manhattan still. Maybe she'll look out after her.
Maybe. She's got family there also. My wife's brother and his wife live in Manhattan. My wife's brother, Andrew,
Little Apple.
is the PIO for the city of Manhattan.
Really?
That is the public information officer.
Yeah, I had no idea, to be honest.
Why don't you know these things?
What the PIO stands for? I got my own stuff going on.
You tried to be a media personality. These are things you should have.
Yeah, I failed.
Yeah.
I also tried to be Pistol Pete. That also failed.
You did?
Oh, yeah. I auditioned and tried out my freshman year.
For what?
To be Pistol Pete.
In what?
What do you mean in what? To be the mascot.
Oh, is that what Oklahoma State's mascot is?
Yeah, Pistol Pete.
I thought you were like trying to be Pete Maravich in
a movie. No. I was Pistol Pete, Oklahoma State's mascot. I almost got it, too. They told me to come back the next year and I'd probably get it, and I didn't.
Why not?
Got busy. It's a busy job. You're like busy. I was dating some girl. She would never like that.
Who cares?
At the time, I cared.
Your happiness or what some girl likes?
Then it was her happiness.
That's unfortunate. And you still operate that way?
We have a better balance now that I'm married to not that girl.
That is good.
Married to somebody else.
Emily Michael Hahn.
Emily Michael Hahn.
Good person.
She's pretty good.
All right, we're going to take a break. You ready for some BYU talk?
I'm ready, baby.
Greg Rubel?
Ready.
Probably Rubel.
Talk to you soon, Greg.
We're going to make sure that's how his name's pronounced.
Do a little YouTube on it.
That's what I usually do.
That's what I usually do.
Go see
it's out there.
Go see if he's interviewed somewhere. Or
yeah, it's not hard for somebody to be like, hey, Greg Rubel's on.
Hey, it's Greg Rubel, Johnny.
He probably says his name every cast.
Exactly.
So,
but I don't care. We're going to ask him anyway. Stay with us. David Michael Hahn is here. Bob Lutz is not. He'll be back tomorrow. It'll be back to normal. Sorry, you're not normal.
It's fine.
It's Bob and Jeff on KFH. We'll be back.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Let's go to the IHOP hotline and talk to the play-by-play voice of the Brigham Young Cougars. That is Greg Rubel. Greg, how's it going this afternoon?
It's going well. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So I'm looking at BYU's schedule just to look at how long one of your trips might be. And you do go to Florida. Outside of that, there's not too much crazy travel. But how much of an adjustment do you think it will be, not only for you, but for athletic personnel throughout the program to be in this new conference? A lot of things are changing. Travel is changing. What kind of adjustment will that be for BYU?
Well, really not much of one at all, because BYU spent more than a decade as an independent. And when you're an independent, you're scheduling all over the country. And BYU was playing in every possible time zone, new teams every year, a few deals that were kind of, you know, home and homes. But basically, this is every year was a different looking schedule. And so I would say BYU probably traveled more than most teams because of their independence. They could really schedule anywhere, and they played everywhere. So moving into the Big 12, not much of an adjustment that way. The welcome adjustment is having league games back on the schedule and being able to check the standings and have something to really shoot for and play for. That's something players missed for a lot of years at BYU. And yet I think BYU did as well as it could possibly do as an independent. They had to deal with ESPN. They stayed viable. They stayed visible. They stayed relevant. And the P5, now P4 call came at a really good time, because they kind of earned their stripes a bit through independence. And so things couldn't have worked out any better, you know, I don't think. And the Big 12, I think, is in a stable spot. I think BYU found a great landing position. And I think the Big 12 just continues to grow stronger and more stable with Brett Yormark at the helm, making the right moves, it would appear. And so, yeah, I think things are as positive as they could possibly appear at BYU looking forward.
Now, I hear on the radio all the time, I listen to a lot of sports talk, and everyone's talking about how the Big 12 is wide open. Anybody can win it. We don't know. There's all these teams that are going to show up and show out, and we're just going to have to wait and see. And I hear all the reasons why these teams can win the Big 12, but I want to know, what's a reason in your mind that BYU is not going to win the Big 12? What do they need to focus on this year?
Well, the Cougars have to make pretty substantial gains in a lot of meaningful categories. Offensively, it was a big dip for them last year. Their third down number was under 29%. That's not terribly viable. The rush rankings were in the hundreds. It was not a great year offensively for BYU, and under first year coordinator Jay Hill, the defense struggled primarily due to injuries and lack of depth. And that's one of the challenges moving into a power conference is developing the depth. So when your number one guy goes down, you don't see a huge drop off. So on neither offense nor defense did BYU really show outstanding numbers last year. They got to 5-2. They started off 3-0, including a win at Arkansas. They were 5-2, needing just one more win to get to a bowl game, and they ended the season on a 5-game losing streak. And that's when the numbers began to spiral a bit. I think early on they were kind of buttressed by a really strong turnover margin, And as those turnover numbers came back down to earth and the injuries piled up, that's when the losing streak began. And so there are a lot of things to improve upon, and I think BYU is in position to improve. Once they go ahead and name a starting quarterback, we'll be able to fashion more of a concrete assessment of what this offense might look like. It's a battle right now between Gary Bohannon, who, of course, was a starting quarterback at Baylor, transferred to USF, got hurt at USF back in 2022. So it's been almost 2 years since he's played meaningful football. But if Gary Bohannon becomes that 2021-22 Gary, BYU's got a really solid starting quarterback. And the tools around him, I think, are as deep as BYU's been in some time. The offensive line needs to take a step up from last year, but they brought in a new offensive line coach to do that. And if Jay Hill, as a second-year defensive coordinator, has a little better health on his side of the ball, I don't think there's any reason why BYU shouldn't expect improvements on both sides of the ball. They bring in a transfer punter from Pitt named Sam Vanderhaar. They shouldn't lose a lot in special teams. And so getting to a bowl, I think, says BYU is a pretty good football team this year. I think getting to a bowl means the improvements have been made. Again, from 5-2 last year, guys, to going to 5-7, that five-game skid took a lot of wind out of the sails. They've got to regenerate that. And this is the season where things are at least, you know, apparently stacked up to help them do it.
Talking with the play-by-play voice of BYU, Greg Wrubell. And, yeah, let's talk about that quarterback competition. Coach Kalani Sitake really keeping it close to the vest. Will maybe name the starting quarterback in the week leading up to the opener against Southern Illinois. So is there any indication of who might have the leg up in that competition so far?
Well, both guys, and I say Gary Bohannon and Jake Retzlaff, those are the two we're talking about. It's a two-man competition right now. BYU, interestingly, is one of the few quarterback rooms in the country where they've got four quarterbacks with FBS starts under their belt. McKay Hillstead, who's a Utah State transfer, Trayson Borgay, who's a Western Michigan transfer, then the top two guys in the race, Gary Bohannon, as mentioned, Baylor and USF, and then you've got Jake Retzlaff, who started the last four games for BYU last year. But whereas Jake has started four games, Gary Bohannon's played in 34 games at the FBS level. He's won the Sugar Bowl. He's helped beat Baylor win a conference championship in the Big 12. He's made big-time starts. He's a 1,000-yard Division I or FBS rusher. He's got the numbers. He's got the pedigree. He's 2 inches taller, 20 pounds heavier than Jake. Again, he looks the part. If that throwing shoulder is back to where it was 2 and 3 seasons ago, I think you're hoping that Gary Bohannon can grab that job, because every other number says you brought him in to be your guy. But having said that, I don't think you can get through a season with just one guy. And last year was the latest indication. I mean, Jake Retzlaff came in as the replacement for Keaton Slovis when Keaton got hurt. It's so tough for teams at this level to go through a whole season, 12, 13 games with one guy at quarterback. It's so rare. So whereas Gary or Jake is battling to be the guy, they may not be the only guy this year. And so, yeah, it's an important thing. You want to name your guy, get him done as soon as possible, and then have that momentum building into the opener. But I think you just need a bunch of quarterbacks ready to go. Last year was the latest indication. You go back 10, 15 years here at BYU, there have been only two seasons where there's been a starting quarterback for the whole season. Zach Wilson in 2020 and Taysom Hill back in 2013. Other than that, they've needed multiple guys every year. That's the way it is these days.
Now, I've been playing a lot of the new college football game. I think a lot of America is playing that as well. I created my own little player running back. I actually played my first year, my freshman year at BYU, so I'm pretty intimate with your program. All the way even here in Kansas, as more of the Big 12 people maybe aren't. But my question is, how are these student-athletes handling kind of this newish fame, being in the game, the NIL deals, this getting paid all of a sudden? How's that all going down?
Well, I think basketball has made more waves with it here at BYU than football at this moment. You can spread it around a lot easier amongst, 13 to 15 guys than you can from, 85 to 100 guys. But it is the way of the world, and it's hit football like it has every other sport across the country. And I think BYU is positioned well to take advantage of it. But they're not exactly, I don't know that they were, throwing out big numbers to get the transfers they brought in this year. I think it's not yet that way here at BYU, and it might get there. But it just feels that in basketball, where one or two or three players can make such a huge impact on your team, it's tough to do that over a broad swath of positions and players for a football team, at least at a place like BYU. It might feel different than an Alabama or a Georgia. But that said, I think the internal support is there in the fan base, in the booster population, BYU fans, and there are a lot of highly placed and well-placed in this state want the school to do well. And not just in this state, across the country. BYU has a nationwide and worldwide fan base, and there is a lot of support, fiscal and otherwise, for what, you know, Athletic Director Tom Holmo wants to get done, with support from VPs and presidents above him. I'm anxious to see how it all plays out. We're all curious to see what, you know, college locker rooms will look like and how the chemistry is maintained and how team fabrics and fibers are withheld or rather upheld with this new order of doing things. But I think BYU is in a good position. They'll always do it a little differently. I think Kalani is one of those guys that doesn't want to become a bidding war coach, and he doesn't want it to be all about the NIL. He wants them to commit to BYU for reasons other than that. And at BYU, which is a school, as you know, that's a church-sponsored institution, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints runs BYU, they'll always want to be operating with adhering to principles that extend beyond the fiscal and the financial and the sponsorship. And so that's something to keep in mind, too. At BYU, they want to be and have been different for a long, long time.
Final couple moments here with Greg Wrubell, the voice of BYU. So the schedule, unbelievable. They close with Arizona State and Houston, which should be fairly winnable games, and who knows what other wins are on this schedule. But to start the Big 12 portion with K-State at Baylor, Arizona, Oklahoma State at UCF, at Utah, and Kansas, I mean, I don't even know if I have a question. That's just an unbelievable gauntlet, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, the AP poll came out this week, and, preseason polls are what they are. We know that. But of the five ranked teams that the Big 12 puts out there, BYU's got them all on the schedule. And the top teams in the league don't have to play all of each other, whereas teams like BYU, I think Colorado's another, West Virginia may be another, where they get all these ranked teams. And so, yeah, BYU has every ranked team on its schedule. Now, the good thing for BYU is four of those five games will be at home. And Lavelle Edwards Stadium is a tough place to play. Altitude's always going to be a factor. It's a great game day environment. So that helps. The fact you've got to play four of your five ranked opponents at your place certainly does help, but it's a tough, tough slog. And even the opener on Southern Illinois, well, you go FCS team, and BYU's never lost to an FCS opponent. They're 18-0. But that said, Southern Illinois has the SP Plus rankings came out this week at the FCS level, and they're sixth. And they were a top 10 defensive team last year, a second round FCS playoff team. So you're not getting yourself an FCS gimme in the opener by any stretch. So you take on a really good FCS program, and then you go right on the road on a short week to SMU. And SMU's no gimme. That's now a power conference team. It returns one of its best offenses in decades. And that's your second game on a short week. And then you flip right around, stay on the road, and go to Laramie. You say, well, it's Wyoming, that's manageable, but I'm sure Texas Tech thought the same thing last year, and they lost in Laramie. So, and we haven't even gotten to the opener yet in the Big 12. And then comes K-State, you know, one of those ranked teams and a potential league favorite coming to your place to open things up. And that's all in the first 4 weeks of September. And so we're going to know a lot about BYU pretty darn early. And then you already mentioned the gauntlet they've got to go on. It doesn't get a lot easier. You know, where are the soft spots? Well, in Power Conference football, there are so few of them, right? Yeah, you think maybe by the end of the year, Arizona State and Houston, but who knows what those teams will look like by that time of the season. So we're always surprised. There's just no easy spots, and that's why I think that for BYU to get six wins, for BYU to be a postseason team, well, that says BYU is a pretty good football team. I think relative to everything else in a good football league, if you can make it to the bowl, make it to a bowl out of this league, you're pretty good.
While we have you, I would be remiss being all the way here in Kansas and a very big Kansas City Chiefs fan to not ask you. I mean, obviously Andy Reid has got his BYU connection, but our newest tackle, and I'm not going to try to Jamal Charles this and say it incorrectly, but Kingsley Suamataia, he's looking like he's probably going to be getting the starting job. What can we expect as Chiefs fans from him this year?
Yeah, Kingsley Suamataia, and you did a pretty good job on that, by the way.
Thank you.
Kingsley was someone that BYU's offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick called the most athletic tackle he'd worked with. And that's the raw ability you're dealing with. I mean, there will be nuances of the NFL game that Kingsley's going to have to adopt. But, I mean, you just have to see him. I'm sure you've seen him at practices and in preseason. He just, I mean, he fits the model and the mold of an NFL tackle. And he was drafted where he was for a lot of good reasons. And he was important for BYU. It was an underperforming offensive line as a group last year. But, you know, they still picked Kingsley out of that group and said that's a high-level draft pick for a lot of important reasons. Kingsley is a specimen. He is... He, I mean, you just watch film on him at the college level. I mean, it may look a little different at the NFL level, but at the college level, he really jumped out. Like, he just really stood out for how massive he was on that left edge. And if I could flip it back to the current BYU situation, an Oklahoma State transfer in Caleb Etienne, who was the right tackle last year, moves over to BYU's left side to replace Kingsley Suamataia. And as good, I think BYU's offensive effectiveness this year will depend in large amount on how well Caleb Etienne can fill the shoes left by Kingsley at that left tackle spot. But yeah, the Chiefs got a good one, and the Chiefs are kind of, I think for a lot of BYU fans, kind of their adopted NFL team because of Andy Reid. I mean, Big Red there is a legend in blue here, and he is still so beloved, and everybody, I think, cheers for Andy. That's ever been a BYU fan, and seeing him have the success he does kind of makes us all Chiefs fans in a way, too.
Great stuff, Greg. We really appreciate it. BYU does have those games, home games for BYU against KU and K-State this year, so we may talk to you again down the line as we're previewing those contests. Thanks again.
Hey, it's my pleasure. And by the way, getting to Kansas is something I hadn't done a lot of before joining the Big 12, but being able to get to Lawrence for football and basketball this past year. The win at Fog Allen was, you know, so memorable for BYU and Cougar Nation on the hardwoods this past year. And then playing in Manhattan for hoops, even though the result didn't go BYU's way, just being able to experience the hospitality I call baseball in Manhattan this past year as well. I've really, really enjoyed my trips to Kansas, and I've enjoyed everything about being in the Big 12, but especially going to Kansas and being in that state and experiencing the fan bases and new venues and great hospitality. So look forward to getting back every time, and thank you guys for having me on.
Absolutely. That means a lot. Thanks, Greg.
You bet. Anytime.
All right, Greg Wrubell. Good stuff.
Great stuff.
He was a professional.
That was a professional.
That was a professional interview.
Yeah.
I don't know if Shelby Wehrman will be able to match that.
We'll see. Shelby's probably also listening early.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
We just put a lot of pressure on him.
Yeah, we did.
Lead singer of Journey.
Are you asking me the question? I don't know.
You don't know who the lead singer of Journey is?
I'm sure I could think about it.
Well, think about it, because this is important.
My aforementioned sister-in-law on Tuesday texted
that.
When
did we aforementioned her?
I mentioned that she's in Manhattan.
Oh, okay.
She texted that to our family group chat on Tuesday. That song.
Open Arms?
Yeah.
Wow. That may have been my wedding song, but I don't think it was.
You don't
What's
know?
The other Journey song where he talks about being on the road?
Don't Stop Believing.
No, not that.
That was your wedding song, Don't Stop Believing?
I just said no.
I find that an odd wedding song choice, but I could see it working for you.
It's not Separate Ways, no.
Tearing Us Apart?
No. What is that song?
You don't know your wedding song? I can tell you mine.
Of course I know my wedding.
He's looking on Google right now at songs by Journey.
I am. Faithfully. There you go. Talking about being on the road and stuff. That's like the whole song.
My wedding song was The Way You Look Tonight by Frank Sinatra.
Interesting. Do you like Blues Traveler?
What?
Do you like Blues Traveler?
The genre of music?
No, the band.
No, I'm unfamiliar with
you
that band.
You don't know who Blues Traveler is?
Unfamiliar with that
what
band.
What is wrong with you?
I have a lot of things wrong with me.
How do you not know Blues Traveler? You know the song Runaround.
Do I?
Yeah, I'm not going to say
it. Is that on our list for today? Am I going to hear it on one of the... Is that
no,
a power
it's not
ballad?
A power ballad. It's not even a ballad. It's just a kind of a rocky rock
I like
song.
The name of their group.
I want to go see Blues Traveler in concert.
I'm in a acoustic duo. We're called The Weary Traveler. That's a great name for a duo, by the way. Don't look us up. We have nothing out there, but...
Blues Traveler's not really out there right now. That's too bad.
That's like touring?
Yeah, I would like to go see Blues Traveler. Oh, here's some.
What's your favorite Blues Traveler song?
Hook, probably. Hook? They're at the Steelhouse in Omaha next month. You want to go?
No. You didn't even get that reference I just threw at you.
What did you say?
I asked you a question, then I said, huh, before you answered.
Yeah, that's you're supposed to say, that's, yeah.
Well, you don't get that reference? Yeah.
Shorzy.
Interesting.
Have you watched Shorzy?
I did watch Shorzy.
How much?
We watched 2 or 3 episodes. I think we're hearing the song.
That's it?
Am I supposed to be listening to the song?
I don't know what's happening.
Oh, yeah, you're not. You don't have your headphones on.
Yeah, that's Hook right there.
I like
you know this.
This
song?
No, but it sounds good. I'm into it.
That's the point.
I'm into it.
Right. But you got to read the... You got to listen to... Well, we're not going to play the whole song, I don't think. But that's Hook.
Yeah.
That's a good song.
Yeah, it's a good song.
There's a song called But Anyway by Blues Traveler. That's
I'm
a really good
sure
song.
I'm sure it's good as well.
I think I like Blues Traveler.
I liked what I just heard.
Yeah, they're in Austin, Texas. They're not really anywhere that close. Indianapolis
in
October.
When are they in Omaha?
They're in Omaha on September 15th.
I'm busy that day, but
you know,
if we...
1 month from today.
What day of the week is that?
That is obviously a Sunday.
That might be tough. Yeah. But I'm down to try. I got a month to listen to their music.
We could go to West Des Moines on the 14th, a Saturday.
I like Des Moines. Des Moines is a cool area.
And feel like we could get back home.
Maybe we hit both.
Ooh.
Ooh.
That's a good one. That's a good idea. Wonder how much tickets are. They got to be, what, 15, 20 bucks?
Yeah. I'll just stop in Kansas City on Monday and work from the home office.
Let me see. Let me see about tickets for Blues Traveler. This could be a life-changing moment for me.
You're less excited about the fact that I watched Shorzy than I thought you would be.
Well, we're going to talk about it here in a minute, maybe.
Maybe.
But you only watched 2 or 3 episodes.
Yeah,
so
I did.
Does it really... You don't really have a proper perspective.
Well,
you know how much better the show gets as it goes along, it's already amazing.
I'll be honest with you. I hope it does, because what I saw was okay.
Really?
Here's my thing. Can I give you my thoughts without you interrupting?
I doubt it.
Okay, we'll try our best.
The cheapest Blues Traveler ticket, by the way, is $45.
Which show?
That's Des Moines.
It's probably cheaper in Omaha. It was fine. I understand. I can see why it's a funny show, why people find it funny. Like, I can see the writing is good. Like, I'm like, okay, this is a show that I could understand. And it's probably a show to watch with your boys and, you know, just really bro out. It's not
a bro show.
It's too repetitive for me.
What are you talking about?
It's too repetitive.
What does that mean?
I did repeat that. They say the same thing over and over. It's the same jokes. They do it on purpose. I don't know. Is this a Letterkenny spinoff?
Yes.
See, I never watched Letterkenny either.
Who cares?
I don't think that I'd like either show. It was okay.
You didn't like Shorzy?
I thought it had some funny moments.
Oh my God.
But
do you not get it?
What am I supposed to get?
That everything they do is purposeful.
Yeah, no, I
the
got
callbacks
that.
Are
no,
the
I got
are,
that.
Are on purpose. You have to watch it with, don't be so critical.
I told you it was very clever writing. I just not my cup of tea. It's not my cup of tea. See, Seinfeld, which is playing on here, the studio
right
now.
Yeah, that's not repetitive. Every episode, the exact same.
Seinfeld and Curb Your Enthusiasm, you know, Larry David's got this thing about when something's funny or a funny word, he likes to say it a lot. And I'm okay with that, but it's just too much. It was just too much. Man,
I'm starting to realize who my true friends are.
Why? Because I don't like a show as much that you do?
Yeah, that's exactly why.
Okay. Am I one of your true friends then? Is that
not,
what you're
apparently
saying?
Apparently not.
Because I don't like that show that
yeah,
much?
Yeah, because it's, I'm shocked.
I don't like the pitch of his voice either.
Oh, God.
It's too high-pitched. It's too grating on my ears.
I'm staring a dagger through you
he
right
is.
Now.
He is.
Unbelievable. Okay.
I get that it's clever. And I might
just be me and Duda's show. That's fine. That's fine.
Don't you want to have a thing with him and we have our things?
No, I don't want to have a thing with you anymore.
Wow.
I'm done with
it. Am I even going to be here the second hour?
I don't know. Get back to your game. I'll play with
you. I'd maybe still watch it by myself, but Emily didn't like it. She didn't care for it at all. I cared for it.
My
I understood
wife loves it.
But that was shocking to me.
Why?
It doesn't seem like a show she'd like.
But it's good. You have to ignore, like, the stuff that is done
the
for
annoying
effect.
Stuff. Yeah, okay.
You have to ignore that, oh, everything they do is purposeful, okay? So I get maybe, oh, no, my cup of tea, but the vulgarity, it's not to be taken seriously.
I didn't take it seriously. I didn't care about the vulgarity. I thought it was fine.
You're so stupid.
That's fine. It's fine. Thanks, everyone, for letting me be on the show these couple times that I've been on.
So here's my short
question. You probably will never hear me again.
I asked this to Duda. He, as usual, was the least helpful person on earth.
Okay.
I mean, I thought he'd at least throw out a guess or some kind of just, well, but he has no capability to analyze. So that was my mistake.
That was your mistake.
He's not an analyst of anything.
Okay.
And can't be.
What's the question?
So that was my mistake. Shorzy has entered production for season 4.
Okay.
They tell me it's coming out in winter 2025.
Okay.
What does that mean to you?
Does that mean this coming, like, December? Or, sorry, no, this coming January, February, or
next December?
I would say it's this coming January,
February. That's kind of what I think, yeah. But also I'm hopeful.
Well, winter technically only begins, what, December 21st?
Right.
So I doubt it's coming in those 10 days.
That's what I've been thinking. They're probably not gonna release it at Christmas.
And if it's in production now, or is it they're done filming?
It's in production. It's begun production.
It's a tight window.
6 episodes.
I mean, you look at South Park, they do things in 6 days, so.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what Shorzy's production schedule is.
I would guess January, February.
I think you need to watch the whole series.
I'd be interested to watch. Are there only 6 episodes per season?
Yeah.
Oh, then I'm already almost done with the first season.
And season 3 is so good.
I will watch it. I'll make a deal for you. I'll watch it. It's just going to be slower because my wife doesn't want to watch it.
Well, she needs to watch it too.
She's so bored by it. She did not care for it at all. I thought it was clever. It's not necessarily my cup of tea.
What did she not like about it?
It's just not her. It's not. It's her not a cup. Not her cup
boring,
of coffee.
So what was she bored by?
She was bored by it. It was boring to her. That's not her thing, man.
Fine. That's great. That's great. Great.
I'm so sorry.
I don't know. I'm going to buy one Blues Traveler ticket. You're going to be out of here. It's a lot of things are going to change now.
You're going to fly to Des Moines?
No, I wouldn't.
You're going to drive alone then without me?
It's only $110.50 for two. Maybe I'll go with my wife.
Wow. I am already cut out.
I'll ask if she wants to go.
Okay. If she doesn't, let me know. I'd love to road trip with you.
Seriously, though? I thought you were just saying that.
I don't. I would. No, I. Truthfully, I would love to road trip with you. I just don't know if I can.
Of course. All right, we're going to take a break.
Yeah, I want to play the game.
You are struggling.
You're struggling?
Oh, I'd love to road trip with you. Really? No.
No, well.
That's you right there. Oh, I watched Shorzy. That's great. Do you like it? No, I hated it.
I didn't say I hated it.
You did.
I did not say I hated it.
I know you didn't say it, but you said it.
I hate it.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Let's take a break. I'm so disgusted right now. We'll come back with hour 2. It starts with a game from David Michael Hahn. Is it a competition game?
Can be, but no, it's not.
Okay. And then we have an interview with Shelby Wehrman, the Cheney football coach. Stay with us. Hour 2 coming up. Bob and Jeff, KFH.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.